This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome. I am home, back in my own office. It's wonderful to be back. The phone number, if you'd like to be on the program, 877-973-7425. We've got to begin with the unedited editing gaslight. This is just wild stuff. For the last number of years, the American media has been obsessed, the press corps is obsessed with Republican disinformation and misinformation, and it's all Russia all the time. And now they themselves are participating in gaslighting the American public to save their precious. We begin with Karine Jean-Pierre, the worst White House press secretary in American history.
Yeah, and I think you all have called this the cheap fakes video, and that's exactly what they are. They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith, and some of your news organization have been very clear, have stressed that these right wing critics of the president have a credibility problem because of the fact checkers have repeatedly caught them pushing misinformation, disinformation, and so we see this, and this is something coming from your part of the world, calling them cheap fakes and misinformation.
Cheap fakes and misinformation. What is it? What are they so upset about? They're upset about a video of Joe Biden on stage in Los Angeles at a fundraiser. Now, I am playing this video here and I'm watching it, and you see a stage go back. The crowd is cheering. There's Jimmy Kimmel and Barack Obama and Joe Biden on stage. And Joe Biden freezes on stage. Barack Obama gently reaches over, grabs his hand, pulls him in his direction, and then walks with him with his hand on Joe Biden's back the entire time, leaning into him. And when they get off stage, he pats Joe Biden on the back as if good job. But he literally keeps his hand on Joe Biden until they are completely off stage, pushing Joe Biden forward. Now, every single person who has an infirmed elderly parent knows that. It's the exact same gesture Prime Minister Meloni did in Italy when she reached over to Joe Biden and pulled him back. Joe Biden, in that video, as I said at the time, was actually looking at American paratroopers and talking to American paratroopers who were there. But what was notable is that if you saw that video, Emmanuel Macron gestures with his head to Prime Minister Meloni, who then begins to go to Joe Biden as other leaders then head towards Joe Biden. She pulls him back very gingerly, and the other leaders begin to surround Joe Biden and push him in a particular direction. Every single person with an infirmed elderly parent knows that maneuver. That not just a tap on the shoulder, but a hand on the shoulder directing, gingerly, carefully directing. Everyone knows that who has an elderly, infirm parent. It's what Barack Obama did. That video of Barack Obama and Joe Biden on stage came from a Hollywood Reporter employee who was there at the event reporting. The guy's name is Chris Gardner. He put up the video and he says this: that's a wrap on record-setting Democratic fundraiser for Joe Biden's reelection campaign, netting $28 million. Former President Barack Obama and President Joe Biden offer final waves to Peacock Theater crowd as Obama then grabs Biden's hand to lead him off stage following a 40-minute conversation with Jimmy Kimmel. Literally does grab him by the hand, pull him in the direction, puts his hand on Joe Biden's back and pushes him forward the whole time. And as they get closer to being off stage, lowers his hand down to the middle of Joe Biden's back to keep him going undistracted. Every single person with an infirmed elderly parent knows what this is. You saw it with Giorgia Meloni. You saw it with Barack Obama. And the response from not just the White House, but from the American Press Corps, is that this is edited video footage, that this distorts what happened. Straight from the MSNBC state-run media is Nicole Wallace, serving as the Iraqi information minister.
Edited videos of President Biden directly from Republican National Committee social media accounts, and then use those videos to spread messages virally to cast doubt on President Biden's fitness for office. Here is this headline from the New York Post, quote, Biden appears to freeze up, has to be led off stage by Obama at Megabucks LA fundraiser. The full video posted by Biden finance chair on Twitter shows something entirely different. Biden reacting to applause and then walking off stage with former President Obama. It comes less than 1 week after the New York Post made a cover out of another piece of deceptively edited tape, calling him meander-in-chief due to what they claim was Biden walking away during a skydiving demonstration during the G7 summit last week.
Clearly, the demands have gone up for the White House, and Nicole Wallace is swallowing everything they're giving her and regurgitating it on national television. By the way, what's so notable is when she says that the Democratic finance chair hears his tape. He's at an angle where you can't see Barack Obama reaching over to grab Joe Biden's hand. He's to the left of him, so it just looks like Barack Obama turned to Joe Biden. You can't see him reach out his hand and pull his arm. And then they cut it so you can't then see that he actually was holding Joe Biden's hand until he moved his arm up to push him along for the backside. So MSNBC, on behalf of the White House, runs selectively edited video at an angle so you can't see all the details, and says that's the truth, and that the video that actually shows you unedited, uncut what happened, that that's the lie. They're going all in. Here's MSNBC's Michael Steele.
One of, oh, guess what? Fact checkers can't catch up or keep up. The problem is you have mainstream media outlets that are, like we, as you mentioned before, the Wall Street Journal, in their own ways perpetuating this. So right. It gives an air of legitimacy to some of this. And before you have a chance to come back and say, wait a minute, Wall Street Journal, what the hell are you doing? You know that's not what this right. is. Why don't you come clean about it? It's already been placed up on X, right? A platform that mm-hmm. Elon Musk said, hey, lie as much as you want. We don't care.
Isn't that brilliant? You have Comcast employees. And by the way, Comcast has some responsibility here. They own this network. Comcast employees lecturing you on disinformation and misinformation and lying to you. We on the right ran the unedited video of Joe Biden on that stage with Barack Obama. And it was MSNBC and the White House that pushed the edited, abridged video so you couldn't see the whole scene. The fact that they're having to spend time on this as well, say, no, don't believe the unedited footage, believe our edited footage. The fact that they have to do this, the fact that they have to rattle the sabers at Comcast to get MSNBC to do, I mean, state-run propaganda for them. After all the lectures on disinformation and misinformation, they are who they've become, who they claim to hate. But they did this with Hunter Biden, too. They did this with Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's laptop. All of the media outlets that are blasting the New York Post now at the time were glad that Twitter censored the New York Post and their account. It was New York Post, not New York Times. Censored the New York Post. They were glad that they shut down the New York Post's account on social media for daring to expose the Hunter Biden laptop contents. The propagandists in the media who warn you about disinformation and misinformation are some of the biggest peddlers of disinformation and misinformation, and they put on their payroll the people who lied about Hunter Biden's laptop, claiming it was Russian disinformation. The people who claim, is it not just such great projection? The people who claim that they're the honest ones telling you the truth are the ones who are lying. The people who lecture you on disinformation and misinformation are engaged in disinformation and misinformation. The people who tell you Republicans are editing videos of Joe Biden are the ones actually editing the videos of Joe Biden to make him look good. Makes you wonder how many drugs they're going to have to inject into him or make him swallow and force down his throat or up his nose to get him to a position of coherence and stamina on a debate stage against Donald Trump. What we're seeing here is an American press corps that is so in desperate need to protect their precious. They're willing to lie. They're willing to deceive. They're willing to gaslight you. Back in 2016, gaslighting was all the thing. It comes from a play where there was a gas flame. And the wife would see the gas flame, and the husband would convince her she didn't see it. It was turned into an old black and white movie. She'd see the gas flame, and he'd convince her she didn't see it. That's where the word gaslighting comes from this old play. And in 2016, the media lectured everyone about Donald Trump gaslighting America, telling America that what they were seeing wasn't real. And now the role has reversed. Everyone can see for themselves the video of Barack Obama having to grab Joe Biden's hand and pull him and then place his hand, move it to place it on his back to continue to propel him along off the stage in Los Angeles. Everyone could see Giorgia Meloni having to walk over to Joe Biden and gingerly take him by the elbow and turn him around and point him in the right direction and surround him with other leaders so he didn't wander off. Everybody could see it with their own eyes. And everyone with an infirmed elderly parent suffering dementia knows exactly what that is and what it looks like. And you see it with your own eyes. And the press, not just the White House, not just the political operation, but the press itself in the United States that lectures us on misinformation and disinformation and lies and telling the truth, they're the ones who are doing it. They are the ones who are lying. They are the ones who are gaslighting. They're so scared of Donald Trump becoming president of the United States, they're willing to pull out all the stops to stop him. They're willing to lie. They're willing to cheat. They may in 2024 be willing to steal. Some of you thought it was in 2020. It's remarkable that this is the American press corps. This is what it's become. So desperately afraid of the second coming of Donald Trump that they will become everything they claim to loathe, that they will do everything they claim to hate, and that the paragons of virtue and the censorious lectures of disinformation and misinformation will engage in disinformation and misinformation. It's remarkable. These are the times in which we live, where the press, particularly MSNBC and NBC itself, which claims to be not of the partisanship that MSNBC is, but Comcast, NBC, and MSNBC in particular are the chief propagandists for this administration. They are regime media. They are in-house press organs for Joe Biden. More than any other news outlet, including CNN and the New York Times, the NBC news networks are worst of all leg humpers of the Biden administration, willing to lie to you and then tell you not to believe your own eyes over what's happening with Joe Biden. All you have to do is watch the video. Joe Biden is an over 80-year-old man suffering the infirmities of his age and clearly has a little dementia. and had to be led off stage by Barack Obama. And I'll tell you one more thing. Given that interaction and how Barack Obama had to handle getting him off stage, you know what's going through Barack Obama's mind right now. This man cannot be the Democratic nominee. But there's not really any way that Barack Obama can stop him because Joe Biden already has the delegates and they're bound to him. They're going to have to do something if they want him to not to run.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Greetings, conversationalists. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. If you want on the program, friends, I have read perhaps the most bigoted thing I think I've ever read in the New York Times. I'm not one prone to use the word, but transphobic, I think. Probably accurate. This is from the New York Times. In the spring of 1967, workers building a small airport behind Chichen Itza, the ancient Maya city in Mexico, ran into a problem. Their excavations had uncovered human remains in the pathway of the proposed runway. The airport was set to serve VIPs who wanted to visit Chichen Itza, but with the remains so close to the major archaeological site, the work had to be halted until the bones could be examined. More than 100 sets of human remains, almost all belonging to children, were exhumed. Nearly 60 years later, ancient DNA extracted from 64 of the children is offering new insight into the religious rituals of the ancient Maya and their ties to their modern descendants. In a paper published Wednesday in the journal Nature, an international cohort of researchers revealed that the children, sacrificial victims killed between 500 and 900 AD, were all local Maya boys who may have been specifically selected to be killed in sibling pairs. The search into the genome of the Maya boys did not start as an exercise in ancient Maya rituals. They weren't even sure at first. The children found were one such pre-Columbian group, certain to never come across the pandemic while alive due to an outbreak of salmonella and other things. They had to test their skulls to determine the sex of the children. Y'all, how do they know what these children identified as? All 64 of the skulls belong to boys, reports the New York Times. How do they know? How do they know that these children wish to be identified as boys? How can they say through DNA evidence? I thought it was a social construct. Just bigoted outrageousness that they would follow the science. Now, I want you to follow Swiss America's lead on, well, the economic turmoil that's out there between bank collapses, with hundreds more teetering on the brink, with China buying up all the gold, it seems like. I know Swiss America has been the trusted leader in precious metals in this country for 40 years, and they've been warning people about a secret war on cash. If you're interested in safeguarding your hard-earned cash from the secret war, keep listening for a critical free report rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau. Swiss America can educate you on protecting your assets in their report, Secret War on Cash. Now, you can go watch The Secret War on Cash on YouTube. It's actually really fascinating. You can go to SwissAmerica.com/YouTube and check it out, and you can get your free copy of the report by calling or texting 800-289-2646. The All-Out War on Cash includes digital currency. You're not safe there either. Go to 800-289-2646. Give them my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, at 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply. Kamala Harris's airplane is arriving in Atlanta yet again. She was already here tying up traffic, and now she is, well, tying up traffic again in Atlanta. She's going to do a Juneteenth celebration and block party and speak at some rapper's confab in Atlanta. Yeah, okay. Here's the thing that you've got to appreciate and understand. I realize, and I can't say this enough, anecdote is not data. You can say I like something. Like, for example, let's take The Acolyte, the Star Wars show that at this point I just hate watching. The Acolyte is now rated at 14% on Rotten Tomatoes. 14% of people have bad taste. You can be one of those 14% to say, oh, I like it. I like it. It just, it advances the narrative of the intersectional lesbian witch into the Star Wars universe in such a positive and affirming way. I love it. That's fine, but your anecdote is not data. The data suggests that only 14% of you like it. The overwhelming majority of people who watched it hated it. That's the data. Despite your anecdote. Your anecdote may be that you like Joe Biden, but a majority of Americans don't. And the data we are seeing from the Kamala Harris excursion into Metro Atlanta is that they have real problems with black men. Now, this is my anecdote. It's not data. My anecdote, I have shared this now several times, was in Las Vegas. The floor manager or whatever who's on the casino floor was at the craps table, recognized me, started talking, asked if I was okay, talked about politics, and went off on Biden and how Biden was the guy who authored the three strikes, you're outlaw, and he had members of his family who had gone to prison because of Joe Biden. And it was Donald Trump who did the First Steps Act, and he had members of his family who had come out of prison because of Donald Trump. And he wasn't sure he was going to vote for Donald Trump, but he was very sure he would not be voting for Joe Biden. It's anecdote. It's not data. It's one man. He confirms my priors, but he also confirms the polling data that shows young black men really don't like Joe Biden, and black people, male and female, under 50 are less likely to vote for Joe Biden, and overwhelmingly, it's black men who Joe Biden has a real problem with trying to get them on board. And the fact that you have Kamala Harris being the face of the Biden administration to multiple groups of black men, now twice in Atlanta, she's spoken to large gatherings of black men. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand the way this works. If you're going to the same constituency over and over and over to show them that you are a part of the constituency, you care about the constituency, it's a sign your polling sucks. It's an internal sign that the Biden team's warning bells are going off that he has a problem with black men. When you're having to re-engage groups of black men over and over and over and over, the problem is he's sending Kamala Harris to do it, who came to fame by rounding up a bunch of black men and throwing them in jail in California. It's what she did. For Kamala Harris to come out and talk about we need to decriminalize marijuana and get people out of prison who are serving charges for marijuana, she's the one who threw half of them in there. I don't know that it translates. And then there are the subcultural problems. I read something the other day that Kamala Harris is married to is the second wife to a white Jewish man, and that rubs people in the black community the wrong way. I don't, again, anecdote, not data. These are the interesting narratives coming out about how problematic she is between her history as the U.S. or as the attorney general in California and a prosecutor in San Francisco, her life lived, the fact that she's actually a descendant of what, an Indian and Jamaican, not actually from a tradition of black Americans going back to slavery, these sorts of things, and the intersection there. I don't know, but these things keep coming up in poll testing of how problematic Kamala Harris is, and the fact that she's the one going to make these inroads with particularly black men and not Joe Biden, in and of itself, there's a problem there too. Why isn't Joe Biden being the one to do this? The problem is with him. This isn't the Harris-Biden ticket. It's the Biden-Harris ticket. But he's not doing that either. I don't know the outcome in November, and anyone who says they know it for sure is lying. It's going to be a very close race. The polling suggests Donald Trump is winning. The latest polling actually suggests as more voters begin to wake up and pay attention, they're moving to Donald Trump. Yeah, that's right. The Marist NPR poll has come out. It's shown a 2-point decline for Donald Trump, still in the lead in the 5-way race with Kennedy and Stein and the others in there, but a 1-point increase in his race if it's just him and Biden. And where is his support coming from? The people more likely to vote now. That's always been Biden's strongest part. Joe Biden has been strongest with the people most likely to vote. However, Donald Trump's strength has been with voters who don't regularly vote. Well, in presidential years, most people tend to be engaged and vote. And as more of the non-regular voters tune in and engage, they're going for Donald Trump. And so Donald Trump is actually going up in the polling, even as Joe Biden is actually seeing a little bit of a movement in independent voters to him, apparently because of the conviction for Donald Trump. Trump's still doing just fine. You got the Ann Selzer poll, completely polled after Donald Trump's conviction. He's up 18 points in Iowa. That probably actually does mean that he's also doing okay in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania among white people. Those states predominantly white, but in states like Georgia, they have a real problem with younger black voters. Now, let me give you a little more truth here. Democrats in the state of Georgia nominated Stacey Abrams to be their gubernatorial nominee twice. The first time they convinced everyone that Brian Kemp, who beat her, was at the time Secretary of State. He stacked the deck against her and essentially stole the race. The Democrats were the ones claiming stolen race. Hillary Clinton to this day says Stacey Abrams was actually the legitimately elected governor of Georgia, that the Republicans stole it. Stacey Abrams ran a second time and got blown out of the water a second time. For those of you outside of Georgia, you don't appreciate this, but if Stacey Abrams decided she wanted to run a third time, the Democrats in Georgia would give her the nomination. They don't have anybody else. That's how far the party has fallen, despite the national media hype. The party's fallen so much, they would give Stacey Abrams the nomination if she ran a third time. Do you know who Brian Kemp made inroads with against Stacey Abrams? Oh, yeah, black men. Now, Democrats, they hear this sort of stuff. He didn't win a majority. He didn't win a majority. You can't say that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And this is the thing that is sending Democratic political consultants into a bit of a panic with Joe Biden. You know, I played you the audio of Harry Enten on CNN saying that Donald Trump right now, they're polling, he got 8% of the black vote according to the exit polling in 2020. So it's a pretty accurate number. Donald Trump got, of the voters who voted who were black, he got 8% of them. Right now, the public opinion polling, which is not accurate like the Exit polling, but kind of gives you a trend line, the average for those polls is about 20 to 22%. I was on this morning on WDBO down in Orlando with Scott Inez talking about this, that the polling right now, the public opinion polling, between 20 and 25% black support for Donald Trump right now. Older black voters are much more for Biden, but the young are dramatically shifted to Donald Trump. I don't think that holds. I think push comes to shove. You get to the general election, Donald Trump's not going to get to 20% of the black vote. But as I was telling Scott Inez this morning, it doesn't matter. And this is the thing that's keeping the Democratic strategists up at night. This is why they're having to send Kamala Harris to Atlanta twice in less than a week to talk to black men. Because Donald Trump got 8% in 2020. If Donald Trump gets 10 or 11%, if he only goes up 3 or 4 percentage points with black voters, that's enough to win a close election. Donald Trump doesn't need 15% of the black vote to win. If he gets 10 to 12, he wins the presidency. Every vote counts. He doesn't need the majority. He doesn't need a quarter of them. He only needs between 10 and 12% of the black vote to absolutely 100% win. And if he holds his 8%, but he gains with white voters, as it looks like he's doing, he wins in that scenario too. And the Biden administration is clueless. They don't know what to do. And the best they've got is Kamala Harris. If the best you've got is Kamala Harris, you might as well put your feet in a bucket of cement and shimmy off into a lake somewhere. That's not helpful. She's not well-liked among black men. She comes across as lecturing and belittling, even if she doesn't mean to. And then she says the stupidest stuff. She really genuinely goes out of her way to say stupid things. But twice, they've had to bring her to Atlanta to talk to black men. Notice as well, they're not bringing Joe Biden. They're not bringing Joe Biden to talk in Atlanta. They're not. Twice, she's had to go talk to groups of black men, not Joe Biden. It makes you wonder why Kamala Harris is so off-putting, and yet she's more favorable than Joe Biden with groups of young black men. Why? Is it because some of them, their fathers went to prison because of Joe Biden authoring the three strikes law? Is that why, the blowback that he would get? They've got real problems and they know it. They know it by the amount of time they've sent Kamala Harris to tie up traffic in Atlanta. They know it in that they're trying to get MSNBC to convince people not to believe their eyes of Joe Biden having to be led off a stage by Barack Obama. And they know it by their desperate attempts to lock in as many policy wins as they possibly can right now before this election, knowing that he could lose it all to Donald Trump. That is a big red flag in and of itself, how rapidly they're rushing to lock in policies to make it difficult for them to be stopped by Donald Trump. Internally, all of the signs just point to a campaign that isn't convinced that it can win. Americans for Prosperity wants to remind people about the border issues. Y'all see that horrible story of the 13-year-old who was raped in New York by an illegal alien who came across the border, was processed to let go? This continues to happen. Murders and rapes, crime. Americans for Prosperity wants to remind you that there are easy, common sense solutions to secure the American border. It's not a heavy lift. More Border Patrol agents, more funding for the Border Patrol, cameras, physical walls. All of these things are possible. All these things are out there. All these things are on the table. We just need Congress to have the will to act. You can go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com and find out all the common sense solutions. And then you can be engaged with your members of Congress and tell them, we actually do need a physical wall. There are parts where physical walls won't work, but we could have greater electronic detection. And we need more border agents. We need more judges to be able to process amnesty claims. There are things that we can do that are very common sense solutions. They're not heavy lifts. We don't need a comprehensive omnibus plan. We just need to do the basics that we know work. And Americans for Prosperity wants to remind you of those. Go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. Brought to you by my friends at Americans for Prosperity.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Want to be on the show? Come on, be on the show. Call Eric now at 877-973-7425.
This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan, wherever you are nationwide. If your business is buying a building, building a building, buying a franchise, First Liberty makes their own decisions. They might be able to help you. Additionally, if your business needs equipment loans, you need heavy trucks or equipment, they can help you with that as well. So reach out to them, FirstLibertyGA.com, FirstLibertyGA.com. The Frost family, they're great friends of mine. Great friends of the show, and they make their own lending decisions. FirstLibertyGA.com. All their contact info is there. Y'all, we got to get into the Biden immigration stuff, but I gotta spend some more time on this. I know I'm actually becoming obsessed with this, and I need to not be obsessed with this, but it's just so terrible. Hang on a second. Let me, because a buddy of mine just sent me this. Where is this? Rotten Tomatoes. Yes. So, yeah, Acolyte, it is down to 14%. What's so wild about it, though, is the, oh, they've changed it. So top critics, 72%. All critics, 84%. The professional critics loved this program, but the actual people who watch it despise it. You know, Disney actually went through and deleted a bunch of content from Disney Plus because they were having to pay money to maintain things that really weren't generating a lot of money for them. And I'm wondering if this series is going to be memory-holed. They spent a lot of money and they tried to go woke with it. Now, this was in the works before Bob Iger decided to rein all the woke stuff in. They let it out the door, and it is bad. It is bad, 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 bad. Then again, as I said earlier, anecdotes, not data. You may like it, but only 14% of the viewing audience does. There was a, I can actually quote the dialogue. I memorized the dialogue. This is how bad it is. It's twins staring at each other across a chasm as a cave made of stone is on fire. Yes, made of stone. Stone is on fire somehow. And they're yelling at each other across a chasm. What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? End of scene. That's how bad it is. And I got to admit, I'm hate watching now. So I'm in this text message thread with some friends of mine. And these friends say, I'm not watching it. I watched the first three episodes. I made it through the intersectional lesbian witches. And now I'm done. I can't do it anymore. And I'm like, I am hate watching this till the very end. And I'm going to regale you with the tales of how bad it is on radio. I have not seen anything this terrible in so long. Oh, my gosh. And I'm so disappointed in Disney Plus because they put out great content. Speaking of Disney Plus, Hulu and FX, Shogun, y'all, if you haven't seen it yet, you're losing out. You are missing out on good quality TV. It redeems all the bad. Shogun is so phenomenally good. When I was in Louisiana, I rewatched parts of it. It's just, it is so incredibly good. So incredibly good. And now they've decided to have a second season, which I'm kind of disappointed by, because the first season, it was going to be a mini series based on the book Shogun. And so it followed the book. So now they're going to take, it's all based on historic things. So they're going to take the history and they're going to expand it into a second season. I don't know. I don't know about that. They may really screw that one up, but the first season was so good. If you haven't seen Shogun, I highly recommend it. Now, when we come back, I'll take your phone calls, 877-973-7425. And the immigration decision Joe Biden has decided to make, allowing spouses to stay in the country who are illegal aliens, some of these things sound like they know he's going to lose, and they're trying to rush stuff out the door before the end of this year because he's not going to be there.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.